Okay, at this time, Dr. Landman or your legal counsel, if you have any additional remarks or questions, can you come forward?
No.
No? Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions by board members before we end our questioning period? Okay. This concludes a portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do on all three of these matters. So, Dr. Nosley, you are the lead, and you could take them in whichever order you would like.
We'll do it in the order they were presented and chronologically as the case progressed. Bear with me a second, get my notes.
Sure.
So in the case of 2260, I believe, the respondent, Dr. Harris, I have concerns about the patient whether the patient was properly assessed and treated on the initial visit, considering the history and presentation. Namely, the 104.7 tab, the dehydration, and then we were supportive care. Was some sub-Q fluids and antibiotic injections. Nothing else through the day. So I have concerns about how the patient was assessed and treated. I believe that not taking the VD radiographs in this situation is critical and may very well have led to a different outcome. So I would, in my belief, that's a failure to follow acceptable medical procedures. The whole barium series was very abbreviated. The proper transfer of the case from Dr. Harris to Dr. Dordo wasn't ideal, but it did sort of get transferred, although as to the responsibility of whose case it was, at that point we didn't hear, but there was a transfer, I guess following hospital protocol. There were communication issues I see. There was none between the respondent and the client on 11/29/22 after the morning exam. And the interpretation of that final radiograph, the free barium in the abdomen is obvious. Recognition at this point could possibly have resulted in a very different outcome. I've had a similar case or two that I won't get into the details, but if you can get in there and address the peritonitis and the septic bowel and so forth. Medical records didn't help at all. Minimal information on these. I have questions on whether that was acceptable. So, again, bear with me. The investigative committee, I looked at their recommendations and then coming to some conclusions on my own. I actually have two motions. The first would be to find the respondent in 2260. Violation of ARS 32-22-32-12 as it relates to R311-501, failure to follow professionally acceptable procedures and use of current professional and scientific knowledge by not performing VD radiographs on the barium series 11-29. Number two, failure to provide courteous verbal exchange by failing to communicate with the owner during or after the hospitalization of 11-29.
Second.
Okay, we have an motion and a second to find violations in this case. Is there any further discussion?
Did you have with the medical records, I mean, just in general, the general keeping of the medical records?
Yeah.
There's no real, probably more so on the second day, but there's no communication with the owner. There's no differential diagnosis.
It does that meet minimum standard of care? That's my question.
Yeah. I mean, yes, rule out foreign body, but there's nothing else to even.
Nothing. Minimal information from those records, and that did not help. So I could add to the motion a third point to a failure to keep proper medical records.
So the amended motion.
Second.
Victoria's.
I don't know what a cited different violation number for a medical record.
Oh, that would be a different?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Different options there.
Okay, all right. I'll confess I don't have the medical record violation in front of me. Tracy?
It's 21, ARS 3222, number 21, is failure to maintain adequate records. And then if there's some specifics, you could go to the rules, which is depend on which ones you were thinking.
No, I think that.
Just the general.
Yeah, I think the general is sufficient.
Okay.
So, but that's a different motion. So should we vote on the first one, or am I?
Can you just amend?
Yeah, and then we'll have the second if they're in agreement.
Because we didn't vote yet, so.
Okay.
I said since we have not voted yet, so you can amend it to include that.
To include that under a separate violation.
Second.
That would be 3222, 3221, failure to maintain adequate records of veterinary services provided.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Again, if there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And then, Madam Chairman, a second motion regarding ARS 3222311, malpractice. Failure to recognize the free barium and the abdomen on the final barium series radiograph on 11/29/22, resulting in a misdiagnosis, which resulted in delayed treatment of the patient. And number two, failure to provide proper care to a critically ill patient.
Second.
Sorry. Mark, do we need to roll call for there right now?
No. I mean, you can, but you don't, you're not required.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. Switch gears here. In case 2361, Dr. Gordo, the respondent, as to the issue of the proper transfer of this case from Dr. Gordo to Dr. Landman, I think there are certainly conflicting testimony. There's also a discussion of how important that confusion was to this case. Also, I have concerns that the patient was properly assessed and treated on 11/30/22, considering the history of the presentation, the exam on the radiograph table, hydration, mucous membrane color, all those things leads me to believe the patient was not properly assessed and treated on 11/30/22. The respondent had enough concerns about the patient's condition to order a CBC that didn't follow through with any treatment after that. And seeing that we weren't anemic, but we're still pale. Also, I have concerns if there's a failure to follow acceptable medical procedures to not take their VD radiographs in this situation, again, on 11/30/22. Communication issues, there was none between the respondent and the complainant on 11/30/22. On 12/1/22, the respondent even told the complainant that he would be calling her back and didn't. So the communication was very lacking. And failure to notify the client that the case was now had been passed on in his opinion to someone else. And then again, the interpretation of the final radiograph on 11/29/22. And with that in mind, looking at that one, then looking at the 11/30 with the 11/29 radiograph at his disposal. Free barium in the abdomen, again, is obvious. Recognition at this point could have possibly resulted in a very different outcome. So, in this case, 2361, get it right that time? Because I don't have it right in front of me, looking at the investigative committee's recommendations. I have two motions. In this case also, I would recommend a violation, or I move that a violation of ARS 3222-3212 as it relates to R311511, failure to follow professionally acceptable procedures and use of current professional and scientific knowledge by not performing a VD radiograph on 11/30/22. Failure to provide, number two, failure to provide courteous verbal exchange by failing to communicate with the owner on 11/30/22. And I believe we should add the records issue, which is 3222-3221, failure to maintain adequate records of veterinary services provided.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to find violations. Is there any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
I have another motion to find a violation under 3222-3211, malpractice, failure to recognize the free barium in the abdomen on the final barium series on 11/29/22 and on 11/30/22. Resulting in a misdiagnosis, which resulted in delayed treatment of the patient. And number two, the failure to treat a critical patient on 11/30/22.
Okay, second. Motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
In the case 2362, the respondent, Dr. Landman. In this part, the question arises about the doctor's, the respondent's role in the setting protocol in the practice. It seems that it the owner, as well as at times the hospital staff itself, didn't know who was in charge of this case. And so the question becomes, what is the responsibility of the practice's responsible veterinarian? And in this case, the supervising veterinarian, as we've heard from the story, to set proper protocols, which I appreciate your question regarding that. It's in the definitions, and I know we don't find violations in definitions. It is that the primary responsible veterinarian sets protocol. I think that's the simplest way to put it. The main issue.
There is a portion of ARS 3222-72B as void 2. And partway through that sentence, veterinarian responsible to the board for the operation of the premises.
Okay. Can you repeat that section, please?
3222-72B2.
Thank you. You found it.
Okay. We can help out with that when we get the motions. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Excuse me, Dr. Nosley.
Yeah.
Mark. Would you look at 3222-74? That's for the violations on.
Yeah.
And just pause for a second. We can't hear.
We can't hear.
We'll talk over.
Okay. so the issue becomes the respondent's position that she was only a consultant or question answerer, and therefore not responsible for the medical decisions in this case. I would maintain that the interaction she had with the complainant and the ordering of the ACTH-DIM test, the respondent, became at least partially responsible for the medical decisions and the consequences of those decisions. If a doctor discusses a test, orders a test, without consulting with the other doctor, and I realize we have to evaluate conflicting testimony here, then he or she becomes responsible. The interactions with Dr. Dordo, when he believed the case had been transferred to Dr. Landman, again, this issue, was Dr. Landman partially responsible or responsible for the medical decisions in this case? So if we conclude that the respondent was responsible veterinarian on the case, then everything else comes into play too. The failure to order a VD radiograph on 11:30, not looking at the records, the lab work, the diagnostics, failure to recognize the free barium in the abdomen at that point, failure to provide supportive care to a critical patient, those all come in if we assume that Dr. Landman became at some point a responsible veterinarian. The prednisone, not an issue, I don't think, a factor in the case. And there was discussion about this artificial intelligence radiology, and I don't have anything to say about that. It might go to the culture of the practice, but the last thing I would say is the text interaction with the respondent with a complainant was completely inappropriate. So with that, and again looking at the investigative committee's recommendation, I would find violation of ARS 32-22-32-12 as it relates to R311-5011, failure to follow professional acceptable procedures and use of current professional scientific knowledge by not performing a VD radiograph. On 11:30, on failure to communicate with the client after the reception area discussion. And there, of course, no records, because there weren't records. We could make a case that there should have been records if we accept that the respondent was responsible for medical decisions in this case.
Well, you could also, even with for just being the premise holder, mm-hmm. the status of the records in general is against the premise holder, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
So I can amend that to include, again, I should know this, 32-22-32-21, failure to maintain the hospital to maintain adequate records of veterinary services provided.
Okay. Is there anything further?
Do we have a second?
Do we have a second?
Second.
I was going to say, I would second just the one. I'm not sure about
pardon?
All of them. I think overall.
What is the one you would?
The overall premise wasn't. The responsible veterinarian said, okay, this is the protocol. Well, if that really was a protocol, you could show me in writing what that protocol is, because you've got it in your protocol handbook that you review every year and everybody gets trained on. But we didn't see that. I think it's because it does not exist. So I don't know about the treatment-wise. Yeah, I agree the communication was, why are you doing that, the texting.
I'm a little stuck on the treatment as well, because it again, we still have to establish, like, who really thought.
Yeah, and I don't know whether, you know, there is a lot of he said, she said, well, I gave the case to her. No, I didn't take the case from him. But I think overall, the responsible veterinarian for that practice, well, that's on you that he thought you had it and you thought he had it. That's the whole problem right there.
Agreed. And I also focus in on the conversation between the respondent, the complainant, and the waiting room when the ACT reached them test. I maintain at that point that the respondent became at least partially, regardless of whose case it is, which way we're going, who's primary, who's not. Now I'm making medical decisions in this case, so it becomes.
Ms. McGuire state that Dr. Landman, did I get this correct, stated that she did not believe, she thought he was okay after looking at she had looked at the radiographs. So again, she was stating that she had read the radiographs and was making.
On the one radiograph from the text message.
Okay.
But at that point in time, when you order a test, you're a doctor on the case.
Okay.
And so that leads you down the path. Well, I need to know the other results.
Right.
I need to know the radiographs. I need to know the lab tests. And I'm ordering an ACTH stem. I need to know what's going on with this patient. Yeah. It's kind of the cart before the horse, if you ask me, but I would maintain at that point she becomes responsible for the medical decisions, whether we call her the primary or the secondary or whatever we want to call it. So that's my reason for following then that cascade of events. If we hold that to be true, now you're responsible for what happened with that case.
Yeah, I'm struggling with it because I've been in that same position more as the doctor who was asking the premise holder for help, right? And so like I was overseeing a case and maybe I had to be pulled in and then it's kind of like, hey, can you look at this? What do you think? And then they give me feedback, but then I as the first doctor who saw it, still am overseeing that case, not necessarily my boss or whomever, right? Like,
I'm not claiming that at that point there was a transfer of case. I'm not claiming that.
Yeah.
And it was more than one factor. It was the radiograph, the discussion about the tests. There was a lot of inserting the respondent into the case.
Generally, it's tough to follow because there is a lot of contradiction in testimonies. There aren't set protocols on how things are handled, and we have no evidence of any set protocols. So it leads to confusion and chaos, basically.
And I was a little concerned that what we heard previously, it was stated, I recommended the test based on it being, or I ordered the test based on the fact it's a poodle with a history of diarrhea. And today we heard, well, I did this in consultation with Dr. Dorder. And so that's a direct contraindication in the respondent's own narrative.
Right.
I just talked to her, ordered the test. Today, well, I knew it was Dr. Gordo's test, and yeah, I talked to him, maybe, sort of, but I couldn't pin her down as to really when she talked to him.
Same thing with, if I may add also, with discussions Dr. Landman had with the owner, with the complainant, and saying that it was the tech who told her to talk to the.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, the overall lack of accountability on anybody involved in this case is a little disappointing.
Very.
It just seems like they were overworked, understaffed, and it was.
Poorly managed.
Yeah. And that's why things were falling through the cracks. Okay, well, we have a motion and a second. And you're going to keep your motion, keep your second. So let's go ahead and vote on that then. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
And then I would find a violation of ARS 3222-3211 malpractice for a failure to recognize the barium in the abdomen on the final barium series on 1129 and on 1130, resulting in a misdiagnosis, which resulted in delayed treatment of the patient. Also, number two, the failure to provide proper care of a critical patient on 1130-22, and I would put it under the malpractice regarding the inappropriateness of the text messages. Like it should, I don't know if that's really malpractice or is that just, I think that would be failure to, that would be under R311.
Unprofessional.
Courteous verbal interchange. Yeah, and I didn't include that on my first.
Do you want to amend it?
I'll amend the first motion to add a under R311-5011 failure to provide courteous verbal exchange.
Okay, I've got a procedural question. We already voted on that first motion, correct?
Yeah, right. So I'm amending it.
Well, do we need to go back and rescind it and adopt the?
No. This motion is just adding to it.
Okay.
Additional by.
Thank you. Okay. The second.
Okay.
Let's just make sure we have this motion correct.
Okay.
So we're finding a violation of 2232 as it relates. Trying to find it.
R311-5011.
But we have to reference the rule. The violation of the rule as it relates to for
511.
511.
So it's, I'm just looking quickly for the.
Oh, it's 12.
Yeah, and it's violation of the ethics of the profession.
Yes.
So we're finding a violation of 2232-12 as it relates to 511 with respect to the communications.
Yeah.
And then you also mentioned a malpractice, correct?
That was a separate motion, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Clear as mud then?
We're adding two violations, correct?
Yeah.
The malpractice and the ethics.
Yes.
Under the rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so we have the motion, we have the second.
Yes.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Dr. Mosley. The board has voted to find violations in all three cases today. This concludes this matter, and the veterinarians will receive written confirmation on the board's action shortly. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you all for being here and for being so patient. Thank you.